There are things you do think about before you get saved. Hell, fire, and brimstone. And you think about going to hell. And every time you commit one of those sins that you think you snuck by everybody, you know you didn't sneak it by God. And so they just keep building up, and you get more and more desperate until finally your fear of hell and your realization that without Christ you're going there. And the fact that you can't keep the commandments of God like He gave them, because they're His perfect standard of righteousness, it drives you to receive Christ. And you finally trust in Jesus and ask Him to save you. And He does, completely by grace through faith. But if you wander through life after that, and particularly if you get older, and you suddenly realize, you know, one day I am going to die, it's the things start to percolate in your mind. And you start looking in this book, and you discover that the Bible says in Hebrews, 4th chapter, that the Word of God is quick. It means it quickens, it makes alive. The Word of God is quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. It means it's this sharp. It says it can divide between soul and body and spirit. Actually, it says body, the joints, and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man's heart, the way he thinks, the way he acts, where his affections are. I can't speak for you, but I, being a human being, I imagine this happens in different ways to all of us after we get saved. We begin to wonder, which part of us is soul? If part of me is a soul, and part of me is a spirit, and part of me is body and flesh, what is this going on inside me? Which one of these rascals is it that's always tempting me and driving me towards sin? And which one of these is it that's always bugging me to death every time I sin, leading me to repentance, and causing me to confess my sin to God for forgiveness? You begin to realize there's something going on inside me. And the Bible tells you you've got a body, which is pretty easy to see. You've got a soul, which is awfully hard to understand. And you've got a spirit that came from God and brought your spirit to life. And it's a pretty strange thing as you go through life, because if you have any curiosity about God whatsoever and about yourself, start trying to figure it out. Well, I've been talking about some things this morning that I thought were very important, having to do with spiritual things. And at age 67, I think most of you know that I spend a large part of my time studying, praying, trying to understand the Word of God. So I put together a couple of little diagrams here. And after I go through these diagrams, then I'm going to be going through some scripture. And you'll see why I say the things that I do about the body, soul, and spirit. The first diagram is pretty easy. It's the diagram that shows the old man before being born again. Before I was saved, before I was born from above, before I trusted Christ, before I was converted, before Jesus came to live in me, however you want to put it, before I was saved, I was lost. And all I was an old man. So my spirit was lost, my soul was lost, and my body, or the flesh, was lost. That's the condition I was in. Before I was saved, my old man, that's the way I used to be. That's the way I was. I was nothing but old man, born of a woman. So before I was born again, I was not redeemed. My spirit was not redeemed, my soul was not redeemed, and my body was not redeemed. My old man, before being born again, his spirit was not justified, his soul was not justified, and his body was not justified. Before my old man was born again, my spirit was dead to God, my soul was dead to God, and my body was dead to God. You say, well, they were all exactly the same. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. The old man before being born again, the spirit has not changed, the soul has not changed, the body, the flesh has not changed. The old man before being born again, the spirit is not sanctified, the soul is not sanctified, and the body is not sanctified. The spirit is not crucified and resurrected with Christ, the soul is not crucified and resurrected with Christ, and the body is not crucified and resurrected with Christ. The spirit is under condemnation for sins, the soul is under condemnation for sins, and the body or flesh under condemnation for sins. The spirit is totally sinful. The soul is totally sinful. This is the old man before salvation. The body, the flesh, is totally sinful. The old man before being born again. Spirit has no spiritual strength to follow God. The soul has no spiritual strength to follow God. The body has no spiritual strength to follow God. Now we're going to take a look at some things and notice how these things change and what happens to the old man after the new birth. After you've been saved, after you've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, after you've put your faith in Christ, after you've become a child of God by grace through faith, what happens to you? What inner changes are they? Does the soul change? Does the spirit change? Does the body change? What changes are there in your life once you accept Christ as your Savior? It's interesting. Now we're going to talk about the spirit and soul, but we're going to give them a new name. We're going to call them the new man. Before you were saved, everything was true about your spirit, soul, and body. They were all totally lost. But what happens to the old man that was totally depraved before he was saved? Suddenly, God creates a new man. The new man consists of the spirit and the soul. The new man consists of the spirit and soul. The new man does not consist of the body and the flesh. Absolutely, the new man does not. So what can we say about this new man that's made up of the spirit and soul? The new man is dead to sin. The new man is crucified and resurrected with Christ. The new man is passed from death to life. The new man is no longer under God's condemnation for sins. That's the new man made up of the spirit and soul. So I could say that after the new birth, the new man, or the spirit, or the soul, both of them together, are dead to sin, crucified and resurrected with Christ, passed from death to life, no longer under God's condemnation for sin. When Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ," he was referring to his spirit and soul. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." He said, "I'm alive." Well, where was he alive? He said, "And the life that I now live in the flesh." He said, "I'm living inside this body of flesh." He said, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He said, "My spirit and soul are living our lives by faith." But the flesh is the old man. You say, "Well, the flesh was the old man before you got saved." Yeah, he was. But before you got saved, the old man was spirit, soul, and body. And that was the old man. But after you get saved, the old man is the body and the flesh, because he's the one thing that remains the same. He isn't crucified with Christ. He isn't buried with Christ. He isn't resurrected with Christ. The old man is not dead to sin. He is not crucified and resurrected with Christ. He has not passed from death to life. And he is still under God's condemnation for sins. So what happens to the old man after the new birth? Well, I've showed you that. He's spirit and soul. But what happens to the old man? The old man is body and flesh. And the old man is still alive to sin. He is still under God's condemnation and penalty for sin, and he will die for his sin physically. But let's go through here and let's take a look at each one of these things, remembering all those things we went through on the old man before being born again. And let's take a look at the spirit, soul, and body to see individually some of the things that happen to them that are very similar but not quite the same after they're born again. This is the condition you find them in. The spirit is saved. The soul is saved. The body or the flesh shall be changed. That's future. That body's going to be resurrected. It's going to be changed. It's going to be changed because of the life that's lived by faith, by Christ living in us. But the body and flesh is not changed in your lifetime. You say, "Well, I can change it." That's the problem. You can't. You can gain more control over it as you grow spiritually in Christ. And as you become stronger spiritually and your love for Christ grows, and your hope in Christ, your faith in Christ, and your love in Christ grows, then you can, by the power of God, by the power of Christ in you, Christ can more control your flesh as you submit to Him, and your life can become more representative of what God wants it to be rather than what the devil and the flesh want it to be. But you can't change your flesh. It's going to lust, it's going to be envious, it's going to be hateful, it's going to be jealous. But that doesn't give you a license to just say, well, who cares? You've got to fight against it all your life. And the fight is what God is going to judge you by. How good a fight you fight by submission to His will, and how many changes you let Him make in your life. But the flesh will not change. The spirit is saved, the soul is saved, the body and the flesh shall be changed. Now, what about redemption? This is the new man. The spirit is redeemed, the soul is redeemed. What about the old man, body and flesh? Promised redemption, future redemption, a change at the first resurrection in the twinkling of an eye, when it is changed into a glorious new body from incorruption that changes into corruption. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It has to be changed, but it's future. It's a promise that God gave to you when He sealed your soul and your spirit, saved them and redeemed them. Now let's take a look at justification. The new man, spirit and soul. The spirit is justified, the soul is justified. The body or the flesh is not justified. It will not be justified, it cannot be justified, and it is going to die because it is sentenced to death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. My spirit and my soul have already died. They died with Christ on the cross, they were buried with Christ, and they were resurrected from the dead, and I'm alive in Christ. But my soul is saved, redeemed, justified. My spirit is saved, redeemed, and justified, but my body and flesh is not justified because it is sinful. What about the spirit? Well, the new man, the spirit and the soul. The spirit is alive to God, the soul is alive to God. The body or the flesh is dead to God. It has no spiritual connection whatsoever to God, cannot believe in God, doubts everything about God, causes you nothing but trouble. One day it'll be changed. One day it'll be made alive and changed into a glorious new body. But right now it's dead toward God. What about the soul? Well, the spirit is alive to God. How is the soul alive? It's alive to God. How? Through the spirit. It is the spirit that maintains the life of the soul. And it is the spirit that is always there for the soul to turn to for forgiveness. The soul is influenced from two different directions. This flesh, which is nothing but bad, and this spirit, which is nothing but good, continually tries to get the soul, do this, do this, do this, do this. You say, well, if you sin, you're going to hell. No, you're not. Because your soul immediately confesses the sin, and the very spirit of Christ in you, your advocate with the Father above through the new birth, forgives you because of His blood and His sacrifice. What about the spirit and the new man when it comes to change? The spirit is changed. When you're saved, before you're saved, the soul is lost, not redeemed, not justified, dead to God, not changed, not sanctified, not sealed, not crucified and resurrected with Christ. It's under condemnation for sins. It's totally sinful. It has no spiritual strength to follow God. That is your spirit before you were saved. Now, what's your spirit like after you get saved? Changed. Changed completely. Everything about it is changed. It is perfect. It is without sin. And it is the living seed of God within you. And it cannot sin. You'll find that in the third chapter of 1 John. What about your soul? It's part of the new man. It's changed. And being changed. Your soul is the part of you that can grow spiritually. Your soul is the part of you that can now respond to God. Your soul is the part of you that can ask for forgiveness and receive it and be cleansed. Your soul is the one that God is going to judge at the judgment seat of Christ for its response. and how often it responded and to what degree it responded to the Spirit of His Son that came and indwelt your spirit and gave it life. A man's soul is saved and sealed the instant he receives Christ, and it's going straight to heaven no matter what happens. But God wants that soul to change and start seeking the things of God and fighting against the body, fighting against the flesh, and fighting against the devil who works through it. What about the body, the old man? He shall be changed at the resurrection. At the first resurrection, what we call the rapture, that's when he's going to be changed. But he's not going to change one whit before then. I used to think as I got older, my old man would finally start to grow up a little. He's just as childish and immature as he ever was. He can act like a fool at a card game sometimes. He can show himself for what he really is. You say, well, how in the world do you manage to do that? It's something that you learn. This old man of mine is just as wicked and sinful as the day I received Christ. But by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, I know something. He's all these things that he shouldn't be. But he's there for a reason. And he drives me to Christ more than anything else in my life. Because he's constantly trying to get me to sin. And the devil is constantly working through him. And I'm constantly having to run to Christ like a frightened, helpless child, confessing my sin, being forgiven, and letting the Spirit of Christ pick me up and go forward to fight the next fight against the flesh. Now let's take a look at spirit, soul, and body, new man, the old man. The spirit and the soul are what's known as the new man. The body after the new birth, the flesh, is what's known as the old man. Well, what about the spirit? It's sanctified. It's completely sanctified. It's set apart. It's perfect. It's sinless. It has no sin. Cannot sin. Will not sin. What about the soul? It's sanctified. It's set apart. It's sealed. It belongs to God. And being sanctified. How does that sanctification process work? Every time I sin, I run to God and ask for forgiveness. And I'm truly ashamed. You say, I don't see how a man could keep on doing that and still be ashamed. Well, I guarantee you, if you don't understand that, something's wrong with you. Because, boy, every time I go, I know I've goofed, and every time I know he forgives me. Sanctified means hagiso, set apart. My soul is eternally set apart. It belongs to God. But God's working on that soul. There's a little song they used to sing here, the kids used to sing, God's still working on me, God's still working on me. What God's working on is your soul. He's going to change the flesh. Is to keep setting your soul further apart. That's what the word sanctified means. I got so. When I first got saved, man, I was about as close to God as Mars. But as life has progressed, God has gradually made changes in my life. I've been continually in a process of being changed. My attitudes, my outlooks, my perspective, everything has changed. They've become more in line with what the Word of God says and less in line with the world. When I say sanctified, I mean God set me apart forever. But when I say being sanctified, I mean He keeps on setting me further and further apart from the world, and the world sickens me more and more. And I hate the things of the world more and more, and I yearn for His coming more and more. Well, what about the old man after the new birth? The old man after the new birth, which is the flesh, he is not sanctified. Period. He is not sanctified. Nor will he be sanctified in this life. He's going to get one tremendous change right at the resurrection, and the Bible says it happens faster than the twinkling of an eye. So you're stuck with him till the day you die. You might as well learn to fight him. You might as well learn once in a while you're going to suffer defeat. And you might as well keep letting God pick you up, and you might as well keep running back and confessing your sins, and you might as well make up your mind to be faithful in God's church, because God is going to judge you not for what you can't do, but for what you can do. You can fight a fight against him. You can run a race for Christ, and you can be faithful in his church, and you can be faithful to the faith once delivered to the saints. And I don't care what your condition is. If you're saved, you can do that. What about the Spirit of the new man? He's sealed until the first resurrection. What about the soul? He's sealed until the first resurrection. You say, well, wait a minute. You mean he gets unsealed then and goes to hell? No. Everything changes at the first resurrection. The spirit and the soul are sealed at the first resurrection, but at the first resurrection, the old man, the body, the flesh, shall be changed at the first resurrection, and for the first time in my entire existence, I will be a complete entity. My body will be in tune with God. My soul will be in tune with God. My flesh will be in tune with God. I will have no sin, and my entire nature and being will be in spiritual harmony with God. And that's one reason I'm looking for the first resurrection with a great deal of anticipation, because I've never known what it meant to have all of me in perfect harmony with God. And the flesh is a tormentor that deceives you, leads you astray, and when the devil works through it, he can just turn you around and make you think that you're doing what's right and you're doing what's wrong. When you discover it, you just have to run to God like a frightened, helpless child and ask for forgiveness. And God picks you up and puts you back on the right track until you skin your knee again. What about your spirit in the new man? Your spirit is crucified and resurrected with Christ. If you're saved, then you're a new man, and you've been crucified and resurrected with Christ. Your soul, which is part of a new man, has been crucified and resurrected with Christ. But your body, your flesh, was not crucified, nor was it resurrected with Christ. That's why it's so mean. I never will forget an old joke I heard about three little black boys that were talking about what the meanest thing in the world was. And the first little black boy said, "I tells you, the meanest thing in the world is an alligator." He said, "There ain't nothing meaner than an alligator." So the second little black boy said, "No, sir." He said, "I tells you, the meanest thing in the world has got to be a lion." He said, "He's the king of the beasts. He is mean." The third little black boy said, "Well," he said, "I tell you what." He said, "You're both wrong." He said, "The meanest thing in the world is an alligator lion." The other two little black boys said, "What in the world is an alligator lion?" And this little black boy said, "Well, he got an alligator head on one end and a lion head on the other." So one of the other little black boys said, "Wait a minute." He said, "How did him go to the bathroom?" And the other one said, "He don't. That's why he's so mean." Don't tell anything I told that joke. I'm in trouble. Not crucified or resurrected with Christ. It's mean. What about the new man, spirit and soul? It's dead to condemnation for sins. The soul is dead to condemnation for sins. God's not going to condemn me for my sins of the soul. He's not going to condemn me because this booger over here, the old man, the flesh, even though my body and soul is saved, is still under the condemnation of a physical death for sin, and Christ has already nailed his sins to the cross and blotted out the ordinances of handwriting against me, and that's just exactly where my sins are right now, nailed on that cross, and God is not going to condemn me for the sins of the flesh. Now, he'll punish me if I don't confess them. But that's why the new man can run. The soul keeps running to the Spirit of Christ. He keeps seeking forgiveness. Christ is the advocate with the Father. He keeps obtaining resistance. He keeps getting forgiveness. But this booger over here, he's going to die. And God's not going to send you to hell for what he does. The Spirit is totally sinless and cannot sin in the new man. The Spirit makes moment-by-moment decisions whether to walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. And the old man, which is the flesh after salvation, it is totally sinful and cannot walk in the Spirit. It can only commit sin in the eyes of God. Once you receive Christ as your Savior, you have a seed in you from God that cannot sin. That's in the third chapter of John. But you still have a soul that can. And it makes moment by moment decisions whether to walk in the Spirit or in the flesh. And the flesh is totally sinful and cannot walk in the Spirit. It can only commit sin in the eyes of God. And it's going to try to get your soul to sin. And the Spirit of Christ and your spirit, fed by the Spirit of Christ, is going to try to get you not to sin. Well, in the new man, the Spirit can go stronger by the Spirit in the Word. You say, I don't see how a perfect spirit can go stronger. Well, tell me then how Jesus, who was perfect, born without sin, we are told he increased in stature and in wisdom. Something that's perfect can still learn. And my spirit has a lot to learn. He does not sin. He's protected and covered continuously by the Spirit of Christ. I'm in Christ. He's in my spirit. But if I'll yield to Christ, and if I'll let this mind be in me which was in Christ Jesus, and if I'll let myself, if the soul will lead, will follow the leadership of the Spirit and let me study this book, then this book can strengthen my spirit, and my spirit being stronger can lead me better away from the temptations of the flesh. Well, what about the soul and the new man? Well, he can follow the Spirit more and more and separate by the power of Christ in him more and more from the ways of the world. Well, what about the old man? He cannot follow the Spirit. He can only follow the devil. That's the makeup of this fellow that's standing before you. You say, well, I'm not sure I agree with him. Well, that's fine. But I'm telling you, after all these years, it's the only thing I ever found that satisfied me. And the only thing that ever gave me a feeling of satisfaction between myself and God. The separation and sealing of man's spirit and soul from God's condemnation for his sins in the flesh is performed spiritually by God at the instant of the new birth and thereafter pictured as a figure and testimony of what the born-again believer accepts as having already occurred. The new birth is performed by the resurrecting power of the Spirit and makes the believer secure forever in Christ. Baptism is performed by authority of the fullness of the Godhead in Christ. Paul said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why when the Great Commission was given, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in another place in the Bible, it says they were baptized in the name of Christ. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because that's the instruction that was given to the church as the Great Commission. Baptism is performed by authority of the fullness of the Godhead in Christ, which was given by Christ to his body, the local New Testament church. It is an act of obedience by the believer to the Spirit of God, which is indwelling his spirit. Baptism is a picture, a figure, a symbol of what God has already done in separating the spirit and soul forever from God's condemnation for sins of the flesh under the law. I was saved by grace through faith. Christ came to indwell me before I ever entered the baptismal waters. It was Christ that led me to those baptismal waters. It was God's Son in obedience to his Father that led me to submit to baptism. And when I came through those baptismal waters, what I was doing to the whole world and to the church was picturing what had saved me before I entered those waters. What saved me before I entered those waters was repentance toward God and faith toward my Lord Jesus Christ. And when I went through those waters, what I pictured was what had saved me. What is it that saved me? Why am I saved? Because Christ came, he suffered, he bled, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected from the dead. I'm saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the life, then the death, then the burial, then the resurrection. But all baptism is a picture of what's already saved you before you entered it. If you weren't saved before you entered those baptismal waters, baptism is of nothing. But if you were saved before you entered the baptismal waters, it is an act of obedience that makes you a member of one of the Lord's local churches where you serve in obedience to God and in faith and in truth. Romans 8:8-12. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If Christ does not indwell you, if you do not have Christ living in you, you cannot please God. Why? Because let me show you what that is. If all you are flesh, then you're the old man before being born again. You're lost. You're not redeemed. You're not justified. You're dead to God. You're not changed. You're not sanctified. You're not sealed. You're not crucified and resurrected with Christ. You're under condemnation for sins. You're totally sinful. You have no spiritual strength to follow God. You're all flesh. You can't do anything but walk in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But I'm not in the flesh. I'm living in the flesh, but I'm in the spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Why am I in the Spirit? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Spirit of God does dwell in me. I've been saved. I've been born from above. That's what the new birth is. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Those who have the Spirit of Christ walk in the Spirit. But you can't walk in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit of Christ. If all you are is flesh, once you've been born again, then you can walk in the Spirit. But until you have, you can't. Christ has to be in you before you can walk in Him. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. When you got saved, you were totally, body, soul, and spirit, ungodly, dead, which means separated from God. Once you get saved and Christ is in you, God considers that body dead. Why? Because Christ nailed your sins to the cross and took away the ordinances, the law, that caused your flesh to separate you from God. And your sins are nailed to that cross, and God looks upon your body as dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God does not impute sin to me. David said in the 4th chapter of Romans, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. God imputes the righteousness of His Son to me. And God will not impute sin to me that would put me back under the condemnation of God once I have received Christ. He only imputes righteousness to those who have His Spirit. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. But that's a future promise. My soul and spirit are saved right now. My new man is an eternal union with Christ, a spiritual union, a bond that will never be broken. But God has also given me a promise that as wicked and corrupt and as bad and as ungodly as that flesh that you see standing before you is, with all his lusts and hates and envies and jealousies, because of Christ in my soul and spirit, by the grace of God, one day he's going to give me a new body and change this adulterous monster that I happen to be living in. Therefore, brethren, since I know that he's going to do that, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Some people say, well, Brother McElmurray, if you think there's nothing you can do that would cause God to send you to hell, then you're going to live a wicked life. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Dead wrong. Completely wrong. Because once you see what Christ has done for you, and you see how free he's set you, and you see what a wonderful, marvelous gift he's given you with no strings attached. You can see the love of God that radiates from him, and you want to serve him, you want to die for him, you want to live for him, and you want to continue faithful to him. When you see Christ as he really is, and see the price that he paid for your sins, and how free he set you, it makes you want to serve him to the death. Once I didn't look at God like this, but as I studied the word and came to know the truth, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now I love serving him. Now I love being a servant. Now I love doing what he called me to do. Because now I see someone who is merciful and kind and just and forgiving and patient and all the things that I'm not. It makes me want to serve him. Oh, wretched man that I am. This was a call by one of the greatest men who ever lived. Everybody talks about what a great Christian the Apostle Paul was, and he certainly was. Remember what I told you about the old man? How after you're saved, he's still just as bad as he ever was. He's just as wicked and sinful as he ever was. The new man isn't, but he is. And Paul, it bothered Paul a lot. If it doesn't bother you, something is bad wrong with you. I mean bad wrong with you. We're going to take a look at Romans 7:24 to 8:4. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It just ate him alive because he was such a sinful man in the flesh. It drove him crazy. It drives me crazy. But I thank God for his word because it helps me to understand what I am and how forgiving God is and how merciful he is and how saved I really am in Christ. And then Paul answered his question in verse 25. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? And he used future tense. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, when's this resurrection going to come? When is this body going to be changed? It's driving me crazy. Verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, period. That was his total deliverance. Nothing about baptism, nothing about faithful service, nothing about the deeds of the flesh, but he had his faith totally and completely in the works of Jesus Christ and his death, his burial, his life, his blood, his sacrifice. He said, because of this, because of what Christ has done. So that's a conclusion. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I've been saved now for 55 years. This is the mind of Christ. In me, I have the Spirit of Christ, and he brought my spirit back to life. Totally sinless, cannot sin. Sanctified, changed, saved, redeemed, justified, alive to God, can go stronger by God's word. Christ living in me. That's the new man. The old man over here is just the opposite. This that Paul is referring to, he said, so with the mind I myself serve the law of God. He's talking about his spirit given by God because he was crucified and resurrected with Christ. He said, with the mind I myself serve the law of God. And God knows I do that. I understand what the man meant. I understand what he said. I do try to serve this. I do try. With the mind I serve this. With the mind I try to grow spiritually. With the mind I try to follow this. But with the flesh, the law of sin. I don't know how it's possible to be able to understand how gracious and merciful and good God is and how loving and patient and forgiving Christ is. And even though I know this is the absolute truth from God's word and with my mind, in my spiritual mind, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, I can still give in to this flesh. I understand why Paul cried out like he did. Paul said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. So you can't live above sin. There's no way in your life you can ever do it. But you can be all eternally grateful to God for the fact he does forgive your sins. And you can wage a much greater war, a much more effective war by God's Spirit, by Christ's Spirit, through the truth than you ever can by just girding up your own strength and saying, I'm going to do it. When you turn to Christ in tremendous submission and acknowledgement, you have no power, but he has all power, and you look to him for your source of strength, then God is able to do those things in your life that will allow you to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This continues right on over in the next chapter, and as you know, in the King James, there are no chapter divisions. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Unfortunately, there are some very simple-minded people who never have come to understand what this verse means after all the context that goes before it. This isn't telling you if you walk after the flesh, you're going to hell, but if you walk after the Spirit, you're going to heaven. Like if you were to sin in the flesh, you'd go straight to hell. What this is telling you is if you are in Christ Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ. And you can walk after the Spirit. It doesn't mean you walk after the Spirit 100% of the time, 24 hours a day. But you can't do anything but walk after the flesh unless you've been born again. And once Christ is in you, every time you sin in the flesh, you run and confess it. He forgives you. And that's what it means to walk after the Spirit. But if you don't have him, if you haven't been born again, he can't forgive you because he's not in you and he's not your Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? Right here. Paul said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul admitted he served the law of sin. But he said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Christ living in me, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, my soul, my spirit, my new man is never going to be separated from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I guarantee you my fleshly man will be. I guarantee you my fleshly man cannot enter into the kingdom of God without being changed. Flesh and blood cannot. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. But I guarantee you that my soul and my spirit will by grace through faith and through nothing else. But what the law could not do, verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh can't keep the law. You can't love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your might and your soul. So what did God do? God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, but it looked like sinful flesh. It looked like it, but it was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary without the seed of man, but by the seed of the living God in the womb of a woman, Mary. He was born without sin. Sending Him in the likeness of fleshless, of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns Him in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I think if you walk in the flesh, you're going to hell. Not if I have the Spirit in me. I guarantee you I'm not going to hell. Salvation by the new birth by God's Spirit. Salvation by the new birth by God's Spirit, it is a spiritual circumcision of the spirit and soul of the believer from God's condemnation for sins of the flesh. It's a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ before you are ever saved, before you ever enter baptismal waters. What is baptism? It is a figure, a symbol, a picture of what God did in the resurrection circumcision. That's all baptism ever was, and that's all it ever will be. And there are a lot of expressions, and I'm going to be talking about this next Sunday morning, Lord willing, that cause a lot of confusion to people. They're biblical expressions that create confusion. In the Bible, when it talks about putting off something, like the old man, it means to separate yourself from him. When it talks about circumcision, it's talking about a putting off of the flesh outside the male organ. When it talks about death, it's talking about a separation. That's what death is. To die means to be separated from. To be dead to means to be separated from. Circumcision is an outward sign of what is supposed to have already happened inside. Baptism is an outward sign of what is supposed to have already happened inside. All those Jews that walked around, I think it's going to be all right, Bob. I think it will be. All the saved of the Old Testament had their hearts spiritually circumcised when they put their faith in the Messiah who was to bring restoration of the kingdom lost by Adam and Eve. The outer circumcision of the flesh was only valid with God for those whose hearts were circumcised. All the saved of the church age had their hearts spiritually circumcised when they put their faith in the Messiah who has brought restoration of the kingdom lost by Adam and Eve. The outer baptism of the flesh is only valid with God for those whose hearts have been circumcised. Old Testament circumcision outwardly identified Jews as those who sought the promises made to Abraham by God. New Testament baptism outwardly identifies church members as those who seek the promises made to them by God. In Hebrews 8 and 6, it contrasts the Old and New Testament promises. Hebrews 8 and 6, for now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. In Hebrews 11:40, it talks all about those elders that received a good report earlier in the chapter. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Jesus said, if a man claims to be my child, and he's talking about a Jew who was keeping the law, he said, just because he's circumcised outwardly doesn't mean he's saved. Because if I didn't circumcise his heart before he actually was circumcised, he said, it's outward in the flesh and it's not genuine. Verse 29, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In Colossians 2:11, we are told, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. It's a spiritual circumcision. Human hands can't make it. You can't do it yourself. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Putting off means to separate. Whenever a male organ is circumcised, one part is taken off. And it's thrown away. And it shrivels up and it dies. The other part continues to live and has a much healthier life, having been separated from the part that died. That's what happens when you get saved. And for the rest of your life, you're supposed to be separated more and more from the world, which is what God saved you from. And you're supposed to spend more of your time in service to Him and less of your time in service to the world. Next Sunday morning, if I make it back, Lord willing, I'm going to preach about Colossians and some things that I think you'll find very interesting. God is a God who wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And he gave us an awful lot of illustrations of what he did spiritually